Yeah, so I just want to share really one verse. John 17 is a good place to go, but I'll share from Ephesians 4. Unity is spoken of in both places. And another, if you want to study this, is Psalm 133. But here in Ephesians 4, let's look at just the first three verses. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So in Paul's letters, the phrases are worth dwelling on. He tends to have a lot of density in what he shares. The phrase here, I think, that we want to consider for just a few moments is the unity of the Spirit. Later on in this passage, he talks about the unity of faith, but we're not going to go to that. Now, a few things about this. It's really the unity of the Spirit that's the unity of the church, the living church, that I want to talk about. Let me say a word about what the living church is. So the living church is you go up like in a satellite, you look down, and you see where are the people who are born again. And you have a way to see them because they light up in your camera. And you put all those people together, that's the church. The church is the collection of those who are believers in the world. And we can't see that. God sees that. But God knows that because the scripture says the Lord knows those who are there, his own. So he sees that. And his Spirit unites those people in the Spirit. So if you want to see the unity of the body, you need to believe that the Spirit unites those who have given their life to the Lord, who are true believers. That's why it says in verse 3 that we should maintain the unity of the Spirit. You only maintain something that you already have, right? If you're going to maintain your car, you have to have a car. You can maintain a house, you have to have a house. You're going to maintain a relationship or a friendship, you have to have a relationship, a friendship to begin with. So this is a very profound thing. And I think we need to take a step back, and I probably am not going to say too much more on this, to take a step back and ask this question. Do I believe that the Spirit of God sent from the Father because of the work of Jesus is at work and has been at work throughout the history of the church maintaining a unity? And so I don't exactly know what that unity looks like. I don't see how to see it. Right, I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. Just like, do you believe that someone, when someone confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that he's risen from the dead, that person is saved? You can't see the salvation of that person. You don't see someone saved. You don't see what happens in their heart. God sees that from a heavenly perspective. And we can see the behavior of someone who's saved as they mature. But there are spiritual realities, and we know about spiritual realities based on a revelation we have in the scriptures. And I just want to encourage you with this thought. There is a unity of the Spirit. Now, are there manifestations of the unity of the Spirit? Yes, that's in verse 2. Or actually, verse 2 is more the conditions necessary to maintain the unity of the Spirit. The manifestation really is more in verse 3. It says the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. So where the unity of the Spirit is being maintained, there is peace. And where there's humility in verse 2, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another, there are the elements needed to maintain the unity of the Spirit. So we'll stop with that because that to talk about those things will take more time. But I think this is really meant to be an overview of, you know, what is a healthy church. So we are at the end of our service and our retreat. So let's take a moment to pray. And then we will stand for the benediction. Okay, let's bow our heads. I want to give you a moment because we have a little bit of time between now and lunch. I don't want to take a, give you some time, but I also want to have you be quiet for a moment before the Lord, as we tried to do last night, and let the Lord to speak to you about what it is that he would like you to lift up to him right now. And ask if there's one thing about the church, your church, the church in the Hudson Valley, the church in America, the worldwide church, that we can lift up to the Lord. Father, I'd like to ask that you would contend with the sins among leaders that cause disunity in a church and quench the spirit. Think of the immorality in the church leaders in America. We think of greed in other countries, perhaps that are poorer, the struggle with church leaders with money in India. And Lord, you know the issues in each culture, but that you would raise up worldwide, and particularly here in America in our day, godly men who love you and seek to live a pure life and be Christ-like and lead your people without a concern for self-gain, without a concern for pleasure, knowing, Lord, that you will make provision for them, that you will give them the good things that they need in their lives, and not to be a weight upon the people in the church that they lead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the good work that you are doing. We pray that you also do a cleansing work. Pray, Lord, as we go forth from here, that you would bless us, keep us safe as we go home. Bless our last meal together and the fellowship we have. Bless us as we transition into the things that you have for us in our lives, in our home, and in our local meetings, local churches. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, that we would do things to nurture the life of the larger body of Christ in the Hudson Valley, that your glory might be made known, and that the blessing would be upon us. We ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.